Welcome to season 20 of the Follow My Lead podcast, where each week I bring you stories and best practices of today's leaders to help you on your leadership journey. My name is John Eads. Here we go. Welcome back. I am sorry for missing last week. I had a really bad cold and I just couldn't get it out, the voice out. It would have sounded terrible, so you actually should thank me for not having the show. But we're back this week, feeling great, really excited to continue to bring you the best content we could find. And one of the things I wanted to do this season is to tell stories of real leaders and let you relate what they're doing in their particular industry and the progress that they're making to the world that you're leading in. And that's exactly what we did with this week's featured conversation, Dr. Elvis Epps, the principal at Lakewood High School in Florida, joined us. He's just an incredible man that's made, you know, turned around a school that was struggling and a culture that was struggling and created a culture of accountability. This is a great man that teaches you about some of the things that he's done to turn around a school. So whether you're a teacher, you're a principal or not, there are lessons in this episode that you can use no matter what you do. So without further ado, here is my interesting conversation with my friend, Dr. Elvis Epps. The new Ultimate Leadership Academy just opened. I want you to be a part of it. It's our special virtual leadership development academy. It leverages the EO 360 assessment. You get a one-on-one coaching call, 4 virtual instructor-led training sessions by me, and then ongoing learning each month. It is the best and most affordable way for you to elevate the way that you lead. I want you to be a part of it. Go to learnloft.com/Ultimate Leadership Academy. That's learnloft.com/Ultimate Leadership Academy to join. Do not miss out. It will fill up. Now on to the show. Well, Elvis, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I'm glad I'm here, my friend.
You are a principal at a high school.
Yes, sir.
I want to start with the challenges of leading in the academic world.
Well, things have changed in the last. I came out of high school. I graduated 40 years ago. I don't look like it, but I graduated 40 years ago. The dynamics have shifted so much from what was urgent and what was important 40 years ago, even 30 years ago, to the new focus now in our school district across the nation. That is to create an environment of successful students who can compete on the global market, because now the competition is larger than just the neighborhood schools or schools in the area. And used to be a national competition, but now it's global. And so the shift has definitely taken place. We have to be more of instructional leaders than managers of the building. And so you really have to know your craft. And that's one area where I'm very proud to say that I know my craft.
Well, you also have to influence hundreds of other leaders that lead in classrooms, that lead in after-school programs, that are coaches. The biggest challenge as it relates to influencing other leaders to get them to lead in the way that you want the culture of your school to run?
Yeah, the biggest thing that I face, and one of the number one challenge I've noticed over the years, not only in this organization, but in many others, where a vision for growth and success, getting everyone on the same page, because when I walked in as principal 2 years, 3 weeks ago, I walked into leaders and admin team that I did not select. So I did not know, I don't know their background, what they brought to the table. I had to read resumes and sit down to do some interviews with them. In doing so, you have to discover their strengths. You have to discover, they're on the right bus, going in the right direction, but are they in the right seat? So it took me a year to realize that some of them are not in the right seat. And because they're not in the right seat, their focus and their vision and the common language of success was not being spoken across their department. And so this is what I have to do. Find people who are visionaries, who are passionate about what they do, and who work, who doesn't have a problem just getting down to the nitty gritty and just working, rolling up your sleeves and let's go to work, but tighten up your bootstraps. And so it's hard when a principal, I was the last one to come in after everyone else was already hired. And if I had my choice, I would have made some major changes. Some of those would not have been in those seats. And some of them probably never would have gotten on my bus because my leadership style.
There's you mentioned kind of when you came on. What did it look like when you first came on? Obviously, you were hired late, so things weren't good. You know, it's like a football coach that gets hired late. It's because something's gone wrong. So what was the current state when you got hired 2 years and 3 weeks ago? And then tell me what it looks like today.
And then the graduation rate was at 74%. Lots of turnover. Kids on class, on campus was skipping. It was bad. It was bad. Lack of trust was the number one. The teachers didn't trust the administrators. Nobody had a lot of talking, nothing healthy, no healthy dialogue. Nothing was really culturally embedded where, you know, we do this because this is what we do here at Lake Worth. It was bad. And what needed to take place was a detoxification. It was chaotic and it was toxic throughout the land. Within the 2 weeks, I had to do some really, not soul searching, but some soul helping my administrative. I had to start with my admin team on how do we get this back right? We need to get this ship back going in the right direction. And so in doing so, the emphasis became, we studied the 15 invaluable laws of growth with John Maxwell. And the law of in addition to that, we studied the law of momentum. How do we get the momentum back in the organization? The first thing we had to do is establish a clear focus. Four guiding questions. What do we want to be known for? What do we want our students to know us as? Would you put your own child in your classroom or your colleague's classroom? And then the very last one, what do we want to be known for? And so the word caring came out of that. Compassionate came out of that. You know, they gave me a lot of words, but then I asked the other fifth question, is that what we see on this campus? And the answer was no. So let's narrow this thing down. Let's not even talk about academics or curriculum. Let's talk about what do you bring to the campus when you get out of your car? Do you have the right mindset to be successful? Because I believe, and I share all the time, success leaves clues. And when you're doing something successful, you can almost repeat that day after day, and you can just make that part of your daily walk. And so I had to do that, and the journey was a tough one. There were some people I had to non-reappoint to not come back to Lake Worth High School because they were a good person, but they were not the right fit. Mm. And most leaders, if you've been in leadership, you know that there's some nice people, but I wouldn't have hired them. Not for the trajectory, the angle that we really need to go on. Let me come up to today, just to wrap up this question. In the past 2 years, we've gone from 74% to 81.1% in graduation rate. We had roughly 200 students on our school records who were not coming to school, and they were being counted against us. Students who hadn't been to school in like a year or two, and yet we were still holding them on our records, and that's wrong. You don't do that. If the kid is not in school, you should not mark them as present when they're not here. And so we were able to narrow some things down. I shifted some funding through some federal dollars and grants to put the staff development. And so my goals were, John, to wrap this up, increase professional development for the staff, establishing clear expectations, looking at the culture. The second one under the heading of accountability is make sure that when we look at accountability, what tools are we going to mark use to make sure that we are measuring, we're driving for success, and how do we know that we have risen to the level of success? How do we measure results in the classroom, throughout the classroom, with our parents, with our students, with the teachers, with the admin team? How do I know? I needed evidence to prove all of that. And then the last piece about instruction. What exactly are we doing in the classroom that is standard-based, research-based, that's culturally embedded, where the students know they are valued and that we had a viable curriculum. And so those are things that are in place now. We have gained a lot of ground. We're still not where we want to be within 24 months, but I know this is a 3 to 5 year journey.
When you, well, first of all, I want to just say, one, congratulations, right? I know you're not done, but I know moving graduation rates almost 8 points is a big accomplishment. You come off to me, now that I've gotten to know you a little bit better, as a super high character man.
Thank you, sir.
One of great morals and principles. And how often or how do you transfer that character into your teachers, your administrators, and then most importantly, your students? How do you do that?
Yeah, one of the things I do on a daily basis, I have to walk the talk. A teacher shared with me yesterday that she was so excited to be here. She's at the school. She weathered the storm through all the chaos, but she was at the school because she really trusts me. She loves where we are going, and she's honored to stay here. She's not going anywhere, even if she was super frustrated when she came to see me, but I was able to clear up some things. But one of the things she did compliment me on, and I just was so honored to hear it, it was just an affirmation that she said, the heart of a servant leader, someone who really cares, someone, the art, and I really had to grow in this area, John, the art and science of listening. The art and science, I really had to grow in that area as a leader, because when I was a young leader, I was so excited. I'm looking at my clock, I'm looking at my agenda, and I got to be here. But when a teacher comes in and her heart is on the table, everything else has to wait, because I really want them to open up and pour out, because it's always not the first 2 minutes, 3, 5, 10 minutes. It's always that maybe that 15, 20 minutes when they really feel, I could trust Dr. Epps. Now let me really open up my heart and say what I really want to say. And so I have to walk it every day. And I know just from being a certified coach that one of the things people buy into, sometimes they like the school, but they buy into the principal before they buy into my vision. They can do, everyone is different. All the 165 teachers are all different, but I need to find a way. I have to do this daily, is to see their world through their eyes.
But you don't come off as soft. Okay. So I know a lot of people are like, well, that's soft, John. That's soft, Dr. Epps. But you're not a soft man. I can tell you're tough as nails. So how do you?
I'm firm yet loving. That's what they say. Firm yet loving.
Firm yet loving, solution based. I like it. You also mentioned earlier, you mentioned success leaves clues.
Yes, sir.
And in scripture, it says, you know, you should bear good fruit.
Yes, sir.
How do you measure when a classroom or a teacher is not quite meeting the standards that you're set, but how do you tell if they're going in the right direction? Because, you know, we get in this results driven world, Dr. Epps, and everybody wants it right now. And you know, and I know, it's a journey. It's not a destination. So how do you, as the leader of a principal, help your teachers understand that it's process oriented and we're not going to get there in one day? What are those clues, or what good fruit do you look for as a principal to know that your culture and your teachers are moving in the right direction?
Not only am I 2,400 students, I have 91% free or reduced lunch. I have 52% of my students are Hispanic, and the other 32 are African American or Haitian Creole students. So almost my minority population is well over almost 85%. I have students from 35 different countries with about 50 different languages spoken on my campus, and I got to make it work. There's no excuses. I got to make it work. And how do I make it work? I walk, I fist pump, a high five. I have to be the drum major of excitement. I have to be the head cheerleader. I'm the one who tosses people up in the air, and they know when they come down, I'm going to catch them. Yeah, it may sound corny, but I understand my role as the instructional leader. I have to know what I'm looking for when I walk in the classroom. And if a teacher has a concern, they know they can come to me because I have my coaching hat. Now, the sad note is, I don't care what hat you're wearing. There's some in some eyes of teachers, they always see you as the evaluator and the judge. And so even when I said, let's talk, let's have a coaching session, let's talk about what I saw, what you saw, and how you think it went. And if you were to teach this over again, what would you change and what would you do to improve the lesson? So those just little thought-provoking reflection questions. So when I do talk to them, we just do these things. Go ahead, John.
No, I would just put myself in the shoes of those teachers. When you walk in that room, right? I'm going back 20 years now in a classroom, but I can remember that teacher being, you know, changing just a little bit because her vice principal or principals in the room evaluating. Is that normal? Is it okay? I guess the best are going to continue doing what they do every single day, like you're there or not. Is that right?
Absolutely. They're going to do it. And I found out over my 26 years of public education, some of my best teachers, the best teachers won't always have the best lesson plan. You know why? They it's here. They have it in their head and they know how it's going to work. And there's so much, they can't put it all on paper, but you could see them in action. They are master level teachers and they get the results. And so, but I do tell the teachers, I say, in the event something happens, you come into work and somebody rear ends you in a car, is offended, better, or you have an emergency sick child and you can't come in, how does the sub pick up all of this if you don't have it written down? So, you know, we're just on my lesson plan. So, but they do change because you can see them shifting. You can see the students shifting a little bit because of the expectation. And like John Maxwell said, no one rises to low expectations. And so you have to rise to the occasion, and because we want to see evidence of greatness in the classroom. And so, and that's what we look for. And they always want to shine and show me their best when I walk in. And I tell them, you know, everyone, hey, Dr. Epps. I'm like, oh, stay focused. And sometimes the teacher asks me to talk or share some things. So
that's what you do.
It's just the land in which we live.
I want to ask you some tough questions. It's a pretty unique opportunity to have you on the podcast. And, so much in the professional world has come up about diversity and inclusion in the workplace and kind of the state of leadership in our minority communities. And as a middle-aged white guy, I don't pretend to understand. I do my very best to understand where everybody comes from and what their background is. But in reality, I can't. It's like my wife having a child. I literally can't put myself in her shoes physically. As you think to specifically, you know, African American or Black leadership, what state is it in today?
We have gone back. It's a sad state, to be honest with you. There was some progress going. And like I said, everything rises and falls on leadership. But a lot of things have shifted in the last couple of years here, where the focus is not on the population in whole as general. Everyone has to almost like reestablish themselves. For the simple fact, for the African Americans, we have to continue to prove, as an African-American man, I still have to continue to prove that I am a wonderful leader, regardless of all my accolades, my name. I was at a track meet yesterday, and not one person, I ran track in high school and college. So I'm out there, you know, I got on my shirt. I even had on my school ID. And people still ask me, are you the track coach? Are you the athletic director? And I said, good question. What made you lead? What made you ask that question? Well, you had to track me. I said, no. And I flipped my ID badge. You know, I said, did you see this? It said, yeah. Who am I? Oh, you're the principal. Well, we didn't expect principals to come out here. But the one thing that a lot of African-American men, I'm 6'2", 240 pounds, 6'3", 240 pounds, that when they see an African-American male in school leadership, they usually almost 7 out of 10 times, they're in charge of discipline, they're in charge of the lockers, they're in charge of the custodial crew, they're in charge of the old-fashioned building maintenance department. And you rarely find an African-American male in our education system, K-12, who is part of the curriculum team, known as the person to go to if you have an academic curriculum question, because a majority of the time, and I had to fight that. I really had to fight that, because one day when I was an assistant principal, I'm making my rounds and I go into the office, and there was a curriculum meeting taking place with the curriculum director, the principal of the school, and another leader and another teacher leader. And they were having a curriculum meeting, and I didn't even know anything. I wasn't even invited. Why? Because I was in charge to make sure I had all the discipline problems in the school. Well, with that being said, your perception of me was very negative. And so that was about 16 years ago. But as of today, we still have to continue to prove ourselves as leaders every day now. I'm just talking about in any situation can happen. And there are some double standards out there. I'm just going to be honest with you. There are some double standards out there where I'm just saying, it doesn't have to be a white male, but a white male could do something and say something that a particular fluent white school, he or she can do those things. But if I were to do it, I'm on the news, and I would be, you know, I would be investigated. And I've seen double standards, and I've seen harsh sentences, and I've seen some lenient sentences. I don't know if it's based on race, but it's just the appearance of, the appearance of. But we have to continue to work. We have to continue to work hard. I wish we can have a larger body of African-American panelists from different parts of the United States. But being on my 26 plus years in the state of Florida, it's right here in the South. Now, someone in the state of Washington, African-American male, facing the same thing, I don't know. I can only speak through the shoes I walk in and things that I've faced personally as a leader throughout my journey. I even had someone say, I don't know if you fit to be, even be a principal. And I'm saying inside, you just wait and see, because you were a failure. This is what I'm saying, because this principal told me this was a failure principal but received a leadership position. I'm like, how you have a failing school where you're in charge of training all the APs to become principals? And it's just one of those things, but I just weathered through it and said, you know what? You didn't put me in this place. God opened some doors for me, and you cannot close them. I don't care how hard you push, you cannot. So I stayed faithful, and I just continue to work hard and stay focused on for my students and my family.
Well, I know it means you might not reflect on it much, Dr. Epps, but someone in my shoes that studies it and then leadership and teaches it to others, to see it modeled and lived out every single day in one of the most difficult situations any leader could be put in. I mean, a graduation rate at that level, the economic opportunities of 85% minority students, like I know what a broad stroke here, but I know what some of the stuff that must go on in those homes or lack thereof, right? And in the teachers, I mean, just think of the teachers that come to school every single day, almost 2.5 years ago, dreading coming into their job because they don't know what the students are going to do that day.
One thing I forgot to mention, in addition to the 91, that's a clear indication that this is a high poverty community. I have washing and dryers. I have some kids who have to come to school early in the morning, unbeknownst to a lot of the faculty, staff, and students. They have to take showers here in our gymnasium because they don't have fresh water. And I got about 30-some that are homeless. So this year we started a pantry, and then the Palm Beach here, Harvest brings food every Wednesday. We give out food, and this coming Thursday, because spring break is next week, we give out a ton of food to the kids, because if you're getting breakfast, lunch, and afternoon snack from the school, what happens when you're not at school? So we are already making preparation. We got a room full of food here. And if anybody said, what can we do to help, Dr. Epps? I would ask people, if you can give $5 gift cards, $10 gift cards, and this is what we did Thanksgiving. And we gave out over 2,000 meals on Thanksgiving morning. I had about 50 students who got up Thanksgiving morning. We gave out over 2,000 meals to not only students, but community people who didn't have food. We walked the neighborhoods, we knocked on doors and said, we are here, it's just to see how you doing. And first of all, is there anything we can help you with? Would you like some food? And we were able to give out all over 2,000 meals in 2 hours. that tells you the need was super great. And so that's what we do here. Like I said, I have three sets of washers and dryers. Kids, bring your clothes in. You no reason to miss school whatsoever. I walked in your shoes. I know what you're going through. I won't even judge you. You late for school? That's all right. Let's go to class and make it happen. Because this is where great things happen. Great things happen at a great school with a great leader. And I want them to understand they are a great student. So that's what we do. I'm sorry to interject. I just had
We're lucky to have you. And I mean, I mean that. I'm not just the students in, you know, in Florida, not just the students in your school, not just your district. I'm talking the nation, the people. We're lucky to have leaders like you because your students are the future, man. And, and whether we, no matter what anybody feels about it, the future of America isn't just white and black. It's not just, you know, it is a different makeup in the mix of people and your work matters so much and your teacher's work matters so much. And I think,
absolutely.
I think that's where everybody wants to go do these big things, right? Everybody wants to go make these huge impacts. And I can't help but think, Dr. Epps, of the potential power that those teachers have over those 25, 30 students that come in the room every 50 minutes. Yeah. I mean, the ability to touch their lives, to speak into their heart, to get into their mind when they might not be getting it at home, even if it's something as simple as math and science, okay? I mean, STEM programs are changing the world. And so, you know, it's just what an opportunity for your teachers. What an opportunity for you. Thank you so much for your leadership. You mentioned that people can maybe send gift cards, things like that. Anywhere to send people to learn more about you, your work, the school?
We do have a Lake Worth, which is lwchs.org, which is our school website, but it's Lake Worth High School. I'm the only black man in the South named Elvis who's running a high school, so I'm very easy to find. Black man from Mississippi, which is crazy. That's at Lake Worth High School. You know what? We are having excitement here, and I got one of the funniest indirect compliments. It was a compliment, but the media specialist who's been here 35 years, he said, "Dr. Epps, since you have been here and you've helped clean up this area, you know, with discipline and kids who don't want to focus, you have motivated and encouraged a lot." He said, "Now we have started a chess club in the media center during lunch." He said, "It is amazing what has happened when you get all the kids who don't want to come to school to do the right thing, that all the kids who want to do the right things are really showing up." And so we have about 30 or 40 kids showing up in the media center during lunch who have never played chess, and they're learning chess. And I got so excited. I went to Walmart and bought 5 more boards last week. And we're gearing up now to have a school-wide chess tournament, and they are just learning. I said, "Look, I don't care if you come in first place or 30th, you're going to be part of this chess tournament because we're going to do this every year." And so and this is what's happening. So that's the excitement. When you change the culture, when you walk the talk and you get out there and you find out what people want, and you make sure that when you come on my campus, you come on with a purpose. If you don't have that purpose of learning, why are you here? And so that's what I ask the kids, and that's what I ask the parents. When the parents want a bus, I say, "Ma'am, they left your house first before they came to me second. So the way you sent them to me is the way I saw them. So we can either work together, or I need to do some things on my end. But I think if while it's working together, your child will see that you are partnering with the school, and the school's partnering with you. There are no gaps anywhere." And just to wrap up, just to say, watertight integrity. When I was in the Navy, I don't know if you ever served in the military. No?
No, I did not. But I do appreciate your service.
Yeah, when I was in the Navy 12 years, one of the number one things that would sink a ship if you had a leak in the seal. And so one of the things, we call it WTI, watertight integrity, which means the seal around the door, when you close all the, you got to bend down the hatches. Whenever you close something, not only do you close it, you have to tighten it down and make sure that seal is firm against that rubber seal, is firm against that metal, that no water can seep through. When I established the systems of accountability on this campus, I kept that in mind. I need to make sure we have systems where there's no, if negativity tried to arise, it cannot seep through. Why? Because we have created a culture of excellence, high expectations, and a culture where we care. And I'm a very big advocate for customer care. And so if you want to say, we can't do it at Lake Work, the other people start saying, we have a system of accountability and care. And based on watertight integrity, and I should say your negativity, tight integrity, negativity cannot seep in. And so I see that's going on throughout the campus. And I'm so excited that we're doing this. And so we're taking care of all the stakeholders so we can focus on the main thing.
Well, you're a special leader, and I know you're creating more leaders, which makes me think, that makes me know that you're a good leader. And we're so appreciative of your leadership, of your time today, of the work that you're doing. I'm inspired by you, Dr. Elvis Epson. Thank you so much for sharing your wisdom today with our audience.
Thank you so much. I look forward to next time we come back on, man, we can talk about a leadership framework and we can go a little deeper in how to establish parameters where everyone will follow that. So I appreciate it, John. God bless you so much for all the work you do for not only leaders, young leaders, bright leaders, veteran leaders, and just being a voice of the leaders throughout the world. Thank you again.
It means a lot.
Thanks for joining us for another week of the show. If you enjoyed this, please do me a favor and write a recommendation or review wherever you listen to iTunes. It helps us get exposure for the show. And as always, be a good leader at work and at home.